It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. So today is a special day. We're kicking off a new series in partnership with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. We're kicking off our hashtag Manufacturing Matters series focused on the world of manufacturing. So like all of our other series on Supply Chain Now Radio, you can find our replays on a variety of channels to include iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Google Podcasts. So as always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. And we're glad that you are tuned in this morning. So let's say good morning to my good friend and talented co-host, Jason Moss, founder and CEO of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Glad you are here. We're here in GMA headquarters, and we've got two fantastic interviews teed up with two manufacturing leaders. Yep. And I can tell we can barely contain the excitement here, right?
Yeah, man, this is good stuff.
So let's say a big high five. Let's give a big high five to our guests today, our featured guests, Holly Guthfredson, president of American Metalcraft. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. And we also have Jason Maxwell, vice president of operations with Kamen. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Glad y'all both are here and looking forward to gaining your perspective here real soon. So let's start off today's series, Jason, like we do with all of our other shows. I want to share some of the top things to know in supply chain now, just a few. There's so much going on, it's tough to keep up with, quite frankly. But let's talk talent first. Talent remains a hot topic, not just in manufacturing, not just in the supply chain space, but I think in general, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
It keeps a lot of business leaders up at night. Mm-hmm. So a few months back, Deloitte and the Manufacturing Institute released a study on the widening manufacturing skills gap. So according to their most recent research, the gap is projected to grow from 488,000 open jobs today, half a million mm-hmm. open jobs today, to as many as 2.4 million open manufacturing jobs in 2028, which is up from their 2 million projection just from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It really is amazing, and we show that we've got to roll up our sleeves and get to work. Mm-hmm. And they so beyond the open jobs in and of themselves, they estimate that there is $454 billion in manufacturing GDP that could be at risk in this country by 2028. Mm-hmm. And from now through 2028, there's $2.5 trillion in manufacturing GDP that could be at risk, according to the research from Deloitte and the Manufacturing Institute. So,
right.
Big disruptor.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, although I didn't know exactly what the accurate numbers were, it's pretty easy in every conversation that I have as we go around the state. Every manufacturer that I talk to lets me know that that's one of their top concerns is workforce and workforce development, because, you know, there's a variety of things at play. We've got an aging workforce. You know, I mean, we've got an aging fleet all across the country. And that's a part of it. But, you know, what we decided to do is, mm-hmm. what we want to do is we want to figure out a way that we can bring more awareness about the manufacturing industry as a whole. We want to showcase the things that are going on out there. I call it, we want to make manufacturing sexy, you know, to be able to draw and attract, you know. I mean, people used to laugh really hard about that, but right. But we want to draw and attract people to see how cool manufacturing is and how exciting a career it is and how stable and good opportunities there are. The only way you can do that is to showcase them, and that's one of the things we like to try to do is to get that out there. But every time, Scott, I mean, you know, back to your point, every time I talk to a manufacturer, that comes up in conversation is workforce development. What are we going to do? I mean, we got to fix this, and, you know, technology is a piece of it, but we got to, I think if we work on the perspective that the general population has about manufacturing, that's the way that we get to the heart of it.
Yeah, I agree, and it's that awareness. And not only do we have to reach the folks that may be coming into, you know, the workforce entering into industry, but we've got to reach their parents. You know, we talked to a number of different school districts where, you know, there's so many different assumptions and stereotypes, oftentimes inaccurate about, you know, different sectors, and the manufacturing sector is definitely one of those. So, you know, we've got to educate and make sure that everyone knows the huge opportunities and lucrative opportunities from a career standpoint that exist in the manufacturing industry. So real quick, I want to bring in Holly and Jason. How are your organizations feeling this impact?
I know that we struggle with finding good talent, but you know, I think as things are progressing, I think there's more of a focus in schools through, you know, organizations like GMA and different companies are going out and doing trade shows, mm-hmm. and different types of career days, trying to make people
spread
more.
The good news.
That's right. Yeah. Trying to make people more aware of the opportunities that are available in manufacturing. And I think, like you said, I mean, there was a lot of stereotypes that I think are no longer valid and really never were to begin with. And we've got so many opportunities for so many different levels of skill. So many different levels of education that there's just, I mean, the future looks bright in manufacturing.
Great point, Holly. Jason, any observations on
your end? We struggle with the same thing, you know, talent development. And I've mentioned this to Jason several times that, you know, our age, you know, our tenure at our company is roughly 17, 18 years. So we're starting to see a lot more retirements. And as those retirements come on, new people are entering the workforce, the company, and they're getting propelled to be in key level roles within the company. So training and development of those peoples is crucial. So we're reaching out to local high schools, colleges, technical colleges, to try to partner with people to provide that development and training. But being a part of the GMA has actually helped expose some of that, and you know, to others, and enabled us to talk to other people in the industry that are doing the same thing.
That's good to hear. I think, you know, industry engaging associations like GMA, engaging the school education infrastructure at the various levels you described, even at the elementary level, you know, because I think as we've learned in our Supply Chain 101 program, which touches on manufacturing, all aspects of the Indian supply chain, you know, there is that lack of awareness. And I can tell you from beating a dead horse, but no one sat me down to talk about manufacturing when I was in third or fourth grade. And you know, so we got a lot of work to do. The good news is we are seeing some different metrics that show the interest is up, and certain programs within schools, you're seeing enrollment improve and increase. So, you know, there's always some good news. It's just we've got this bogey, and it can be an overwhelming bogey. So it's good to hear some of the things y'all are doing to fight that awareness battle. Okay, and if you can learn more about that study at themanufacturinginstitute.org. Jason, so let's share some more good news.
We love
good news, right?
Yeah, I tell you, I love to talk to people about what's going on in the manufacturing space. And recently, the Institute for Supply Management, they just released their index of the national factory activity. And it rose from 54.2 in February, which marked the lowest level since November of 2016, and it was above the it was definitely above the expectations, and that's fantastic. And reading, you know, any reading above 50% indicates expansion in the manufacturing sector, and a reading below 50% indicates contraction. So going from 52 point but that plus the employment index also rose to 57.5 from 52.3. Their expectation on that was 52.4. They planned to go from 52.3 to 52.4, but the reality is it went to 57.5. And so that is huge.
So folks were hiring.
They were hiring in a big way.
Manufacturing. That's great. And going back to that first index you mentioned, the manufacturing activity via the ISM report, expansion is still taking place. If I'm hearing you correctly, it's just not quite expanding as fast as it was the previous month. Does that sound about right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So still good news. We're still expanding.
Bottom line, production, new orders, and hiring all picked up. Those are the things. It's all thumbs up for manufacturing. Yep. And that's what we got to see.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Good stuff there. And from our friends at ISM, which have a great chapter here in the Atlanta area as well. And that's good information. It's like the Georgia Logistics snapshot that the folks over at the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics puts out each month, 8-10 pages full of metrics that really are actionable right? I think the ISM, the PMI report that you're reporting on is as equally as good insights, information you can plan around, you know, put your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the country, especially from a manufacturing standpoint. So good stuff there. More good news is the, GMA was kind enough to sponsor and be a part of our 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, and our Manufacturing Excellence Award was bestowed on AGCO, a global leader in the design, manufacture, and distribution worldwide of agricultural equipment. So a couple of neat things that is driving manufacturing success and excellence at AGCO: enhanced focus on lean and continuous improvement, wearable technology, which is pretty cool, and IoT. Advanced, what's not, in terms of the Internet of Things, what is not connected these days?
You know,
I think blenders, refrigerators, dishwashers, everything's connected, reminding us how much work I still have to do at home, right? advanced robotics. In fact, AGCO is using more cobots that augment work safely and work side by side with employees, which is a really neat thing. We've heard and seen the use of this cobots term much more. And then AGVs, autonomous guided vehicles, which we see on the floor of a lot more facilities these days. So we're going to be out with Peggy Gulick, I believe, next week. She couldn't make it in person to accept the word on AGCO's behalf. So we're going to be reconnecting with her. And it seems like it's one of a series of recognitions that the company's had, which, of course, has a big presence here in the Duluth area, right?
Yep.
But Jason, appreciate you're the earliest, one of the earliest supporters of the new 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. Of course, you were a sponsor. You were a presenter. Mm-hmm. What didn't you do?
Well, I didn't do all the magic that made it happen, which, Scott, I tell you, that's one of the things that I have seen across the board. We launched our awards program several years ago, and a lot of folks don't know, but Scott was our initial awards coordinator, and he chaired that for us and did a fantastic job, set the bar pretty high to put that together, and really helped recognize manufacturers from across the state on the Georgia Manufacturing Awards. And I'm really thrilled to see the success that you had. Mm-hmm. Man, you had a packed house first year for the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. I was thrilled to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I got to just, look as pretty as I can look and hand out some awards. That was cool. Not being the one running the show, but I know what it takes behind the scenes to pull that off. And you did a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate that. It took that community effect of folks getting behind a new program and really value and recognition. I think in this day and age, we're moving so fast. Change is taking place so fast in this digital economy. You got all these things coming at us, emails and social media and this news and that news. I think to stop and recognize folks for what they're doing well, individuals and organizations, I think it's really important, and that helped fuel. Yeah. But it couldn't do it without great support. It was great to see Holly. Holly was out at the awards luncheon where we announced the winners. And neat to see local companies like AGCO that get involved and some of the things that they're doing.
Yeah, it's always been said, babies cry for it, men die for it. Just a little praise and recognition goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And again,
agreed.
That's another way that we can use to elevate the industry to showcase. And that's talking about the people that make it happen. It's cool that the companies get recognized, but when you start talking about the people and the backstories behind them, that's where the magic is, because it's people that make this thing happen.
Yeah, the companies can't happen without their people.
Bingo.
Absolutely. And I wish that was global perspective. And we all probably know some companies that don't look at it quite like that. But that's why we like celebrating with like-minded kindred spirits that do understand the value that people still play in this technological age. Okay, so moving a lot of series of good news here. Along with those trends that we cited with AGCO, Jason, you got some trends according to Hitachi Solutions. So share some news on that.
Yeah, Hitachi Solutions, and you guys can look this up at the HitachiSolutions.com and just look up the 10 trends, and I'm just going to talk about two of them that really stood out for me. 10 trends that will dominate manufacturing in 2019. The first one, and it's pretty obvious, is the Internet of Things. Again, like we talked about, how everything is connected and how we're able to gather this data. And we can have tons of data, but we got to figure out what to do, how to purpose that and how to build actionable items based on the data that we gather. What can we do with all this data? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is predictive maintenance. That's an area that manufacturers are struggling with, is trying to find the right maintenance folks to be able to do what it takes. And just an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. If you can figure out and you can, if you can use that data to be able to predict when a machine might break down or when it needs the maintenance, that is, that's a big deal. And we want to make sure that the resources we've got available for maintenance, we make sure that we're, you know, we don't need to replace those bearings or the, those belts every 10,000 hours when they'll go 15, mm-hmm. but we also don't want to replace them when they're, you know, beyond the service life. So, so that predictive maintenance is another one of the areas that Hitachi identified as top trends that we're going to need to keep our eyes on.
You know, we talk about the phrase war for talent, and I would argue that that is not a cliche. That, I mean, some of what we talked earlier. But I'll tell you, one of the white hot spaces of that war for talent is on good maintenance talent.
Oh, man, yeah. Yep.
We see it almost every day. We see a lot of heads nodding in the room as we're talking about this, too. Yeah. But there's such a, you know, for years and years, I think a lot of organizations kind of took that talent for granted. And now in this day and age where we don't have as many people coming into that aspect of industry, man, there is a war for talent going on now.
Well, if you look at the trends, I mean, kind of go back. I mean, when I grew up, I spent my summers on the farm with the grandparents, and we were always fixing something because that's just on the farm. That's what you did
reactively, right?
Yeah. It was no predictive anything on that. It was after it broke, you had to figure out how to fix it. But we learned how to work with our hands and trying to find people that have those skill sets. That's one of the reasons that I got my son early on. A good friend of mine recommended that we get into go-kart racing because I needed him to learn how to teach him how to work with his hands and how things worked. Mm-hmm. Now I will tell you, one of the huge benefits of that was his driving skills. He learned early on what you can and can't do, and especially what to do when it rains and what not to do. Mm. So his driving skills, I'm a huge fan of go-kart racing, one of the safest sports on the planet, believe it or not. But it gave him those skills because he had the mechanic on his own, on his own ride, you know. I did get to fund it, but he's pretty handy with that, and not a lot of kids are able to figure out how engines work and how that works. So I think the more that we can do it, we just talked to the president of Gwinnett Tech, and he came out. We're talking about how we're going to do some strategic alliances. They're going to be rolling out some new manufacturing programs. I am so excited about getting those on board. So the technical colleges of the state of Georgia, especially Gwinnett Tech, I want to give those guys props because they're doing what it takes to build the programs now to respond to the community's needs. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the areas that we got to work on. We got to train folks up in that.
Yep. And for those listeners that may not be familiar with Gwinnett County is one of the most populous and diverse counties in the metro Atlanta area. It's kind of up the 85 corridor as you're kind of leaving the city kind of headed to the northeast, right? Headed to the kind of the upstate of South Carolina, but it's a critical aspect of the metro Atlanta business community. There's a lot of manufacturing and a lot of business in general in Gwinnett. Gwinnett's great, right?
Gwinnett is always great, right?
All right, good stuff. Well, so that kind of wraps up some of our top things to know in supply chain now. Jason, appreciate you sharing some of your perspective there.
Sure.
We're going to move right ahead, and we're excited about our two guests today, not only because this is the first Manufacturing Matters series on Supply Chain Now Radio, but because we've been rubbing elbows with both these folks for a number of years, and really looking forward to sharing their passion and perspective. So our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Holly Gottfredson, president with American Metal Craft, a leading provider of engineered metal products since 1986. Good morning again, Holly.
Good morning.
I had to double check the clock, make sure still morning and afternoon, and I'll tell you, it's flying past this week, spring break in many school districts. So before we dive into your company, Holly, tell us about yourself.
Well, I graduated from University of Georgia. I know you're a Clemson fan, so I'm sorry. But was an art history major, and I spent about 3 years with the High Museum of Art, and moved my career into advertising and marketing, and I was there in that space for about a decade, a little bit over a decade. And I started part-time in manufacturing. My family has both American Metal Craft and Finishing Dynamics, their sister companies, and they invited me to start doing some marketing and advertising work for them, and gradually that led me into a full-time position, and I continued to take more and more responsibilities on, and in 2017, I purchased American Metal Craft from my father-in-law and my family, And I'm very excited about that. We are now 100% women-owned. We have our WOSB certification. And, you know, one of the things that just really was so amazing about the manufacturing process is when I first, when my husband and I first got married, people would ask me what he did. And I would always say he's a welder because I wasn't sure how to explain what he did. And he did weld. And he started with the company when he was 11 and moved his way up through almost every position on the production floor. And the more that I learned about it and the more I was around the space, I was just amazed at the artistry and the beauty within the products that we make. You know, the brake metal, the metal panel systems, going through the paint line, all the standard and custom colors that we offer, just to see just those little parts, but then see that job completed and to see that that whole picture just is amazing. So I really developed a passion for manufacturing, and I can honestly say I really love what I do.
I can tell. I think we all can tell, which is fantastic. A lot of passion in the manufacturing industry. So tell us more about American Metalcraft.
So American Metalcraft, we offer engineered metal products. We do custom architectural products mainly. We can do metal panel systems, rain screens. We can do perforated panels, shadow box infill panels, brake metal, column covers, just pretty much anything you can design out of metal. Aluminum mainly is what we work in. We do some steel as well. You know, in some projects around town you may recognize, we did the 14th Street Bridge in Atlanta. We did the University of Idaho, the research center out there. We are currently working on the Fort Bliss Hospital in El Paso, Texas. One of our largest jobs to date, it's 130,000 square feet of rain screen and metal panel systems. So we are currently starting production on the LG headquarters in New Jersey. So, you know, we're national. We've got several projects that are local, and, you know, we are continuing to grow and really enjoy being a part of the American landscape.
So while you purchased the company in 2017, the company already has quite a legacy of being around for over 33 years, right?
Correct. Yeah, my father-in-law started the company. He had initially been with H.H. Robertson. And so when they kind of shifted gears with leadership, he branched out on his own. He initially was a manufacturing rep and then got into fabrication. He started a small fabrication shop off of Howell Mill Road. And from there, it grew. And we are now about 54 strong. One of the things that makes us unique is we also have a paint line within our facility. So we can engineer, fabricate, and finish all under one roof.
So a lot of those manufacturers, to our listeners, we may be preaching to the choir, but a lot of them will send out the parts for third-party painting or a number of different things that could take place. But you all have all that in-house.
That's right. We finish products for other fabricators. Sometimes we're people hand us drawings and say, hey, can you make this? So those are fab and finish packages. And then sometimes they want us to do the whole thing start to finish, the engineering, fabricating, and finishing. And it, you know, saves on cost as far as being under one roof. You're not shipping between a finisher and a fabricator. So you save a lot of time and money.
And headache.
And headache.
Trade-off and all that stuff.
So a lot less finger pointing that
way.
Yeah.
So I used to be in metal stamping way back when and you know, working with great partners outside. But still, you still have to, it's more to manage.
Right.
And it impacts lead time, all this good stuff. But finishing was the term I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. And I should have, finishing dynamics. It's sister companies, right there.
Right.
All right. So if you could, what else makes y'all different? Maybe culturally. What can-do attitude is kind of what I picked up from our pre-show conversations, but what else makes y'all unique?
Absolutely. Well, we have, you know, we have an amazing group of people on our team. We work with each other. We have tons of experience on our team, and that's kind of what separates us, I think, from some of our competitors is I would pit any person that was part of our team against anybody else's team. And I know they've got good folks, but we, of course, we're a little biased, but we do. We've got long-term employees. We have very low turnover. Some of our employees have been with us 20 years plus. We have fathers and sons that work for us. So they're training the next generation. And really talented folks. Just a great group of people. And we try to work not only as a team within the building, but we work as a team outside of the building. We are active in our community. As a matter of fact, we support the Share House, which is a shelter for domestic violence. They've got a 5K coming up. We're going to volunteer for that. And I'm a runner, so I'll be running for that.
Okay.
Kind of slow this year, but I'm going to try. And we also support Carroll County Humane Society, as well as we just recently became a supporter of VEO, Veterans Empowerment Organization. So, you know, we look to not only make excellent product, but we look to make a difference in our community as well.
Love it. And so to our listeners, you know, if you have had a conversation or 17 with Jason or myself, you have heard certainly the VEO organization, because we're, as veterans, we're big believers in what they're doing to take homeless veterans off the street. And you can learn more at veohero.org. But Holly, great to hear all the impact you're making in the community, whether it's veterans or domestic abuse victims or pets need people too, right?
They do. Yeah. I'm not allowed to go to any more adoption events though. I added another dog at the last one.
Oh man. We had two rescues. We got a month or so ago and it's always neat to bring them in, you know, and give them a home.
Yeah.
But then the work starts. So, but
that's
true. They fit right in. But I love to hear what how active your company is in the community, making a difference. So let's shift gears a bit and let's talk about some of the trends you've been tracking in the manufacturing industry more than others here lately.
Sure. Last year was very interesting for people in the metal industry with the implementation of the metal tariffs. We have really good relationships with our suppliers, and they alerted us kind of early on that this was something that was being talked about. And because of that, we were able to then give our customers a call and say, hey, this is what we think is going on. Prices are going to spike. Supply is going to be tight. Here's what we need to do. And we were actually able to go ahead and procure the metal for that 130,000 square foot job I was talking about.
In advance.
Uh-huh. Ahead of the price increases. And we saved them over $268,000 in doing that.
Wow.
So we're very, very thankful that we have good relationships, and again, a good team that keeps their ear to the road, you know, to make sure we're on top of any changes in the market. So we're kind of looking at that, and we're also looking at what's happening with domestic production. A company by the name of Toshin purchased an aluminum mill in Texarkana. From Arconic, and typically they've been making 5,000 series aluminum, and for non-metal folks, that's a harder alloy than 3,000, which is what we work a lot in. And they're talking about producing 3,000 alloy by fourth quarter, as earliest as fourth quarter or first quarter of 2020. Mm. So that's going to be huge, I think, for everybody in our industry. I don't know that you're going to see prices drop, but at least it's going to keep that stability in the market that we're currently seeing.
Mm, fantastic. Well, I love going back to what you shared on the front end of that, how you proactively went to your client and said, hey, this is what's coming.
Right.
If we do this, this, and this, we can save you a ton of money. And I'll tell you, I don't care how big of an organization you are, how much?
$268,000.
Goodness gracious. And the fact that y'all brought...
That'd show up at my house.
Mine too.
Definitely. Well, really neat. So shifting gears once more, you know, you've been active with GMA now for a couple years. What do you value most about your interaction with the and participation in the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance?
You know, it's really been such a huge benefit to our company. I think every event that I go to, I always learn something. And I really enjoy, I've just recently been a little more active with the tours. And every time I tour a manufacturing facility, and it doesn't have to be in our industry, but there's always a takeaway. There's always something that I go back and go, wow, I never thought about that. And I can look at that, adjust for what we do, and then implement it in our company. And so, you know, it's just really great to have those conversations with other business leaders and, kind of get ideas from each other and talk about what their challenges are, talk about what works for them. And I always walk away better off than I started.
Love it. So one other group I saw, I think you're an active part of, is Women in Manufacturing.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I love sitting with a female president of an organization, because as a father of two daughters, we need a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to us about how important it is to not just participate, but also you're seeing, I mean, I've been told numerous times that you've got to be able to see what you want to be. You know, be able to envision it. And so when you know, younger folks see you and acquiring your own organization and leading it, that's a really important thing. So talk about your role within Women in Manufacturing.
Women in Manufacturing has just been, again, just a huge benefit. Meeting other women that are leaders. I'll just kind of bring up the most recent interaction I had with WIM was we went down to Statesboro and went to Georgia Southern and saw everything that they're doing with robotics and 3D printing. It was just amazing.
Statesboro, Georgia.
Yes, yes. And I was just blown away and so impressed by the talent, especially of our two tour guides who are both female. One of them was a doctor, and she has her doctorate in metal alloy studies, which was pretty interesting.
She's sharp.
She's very sharp. Yeah,
I couldn't
get
that.
She was super impressive, and so it was really great to see young women taking an active role in the manufacturing sector, and a few of them are going to the new degree that Georgia Southern is offering, which is manufacturing engineering degree.
Love it. And, of course, our friend Allison Krejci-Giddens, big leader within WIM. In fact, she, and I should have read up on this before we kicked off, she is part of a new STEM initiative. I think she's going to England to talk with females in manufacturing, but also students to gin up more interest, I believe, in the industry. And we need that from both sides of the coin, so to speak, males and females. But, you know, as busy as manufacturers are, to hear some of the things y'all are doing in the community, in our industry, I mean, that's very, it's one of my favorite parts about being in the manufacturing industry. So how do folks get in touch with you or learn more about American Metalcraft?
So our website is AmericanMetalcraft.com. You can also email me at Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, at AmericanMetalcraft.com. And our phone number is 770-459-3605. And also Finishing Dynamics, 770-456-0595.
Fantastic. And we've been speaking with Holly Gottfredson, president with American Metalcraft. Holly, again, thanks so much for your time. Don't go anywhere. We'll probably have you weigh in here towards the end of the episode. But thanks for joining us today on Supply Chain Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay. So up next today on Supply Chain Radio, we welcome Jason Maxwell, vice president of operations with Kamen, which is one of the world's leading companies that is solely focused on kaolin clay. Jason, good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. So before we dive into Kamen, a pretty unique industry there, tell us more about yourself.
Well, you know, I grew up in Georgia. I grew up in a small town called Cairo, Georgia. Worked with my grandfather on a farm, you know, during the weekends and what have you. My dad was a coach. So I spent a lot of time on teams in a team environment trying to figure out how to, you know, get everybody moving towards a common vision and accomplish something and be successful. So that's how I started, and I kind of moved on forward, you know, with the same theme all through my career. My background is in chemical engineering, graduated from Florida State, went back and got an MBA.
Go Noles.
Go right? Noles, yeah. Got an MBA at Georgia College and State University. And I've been in the manufacturing space for probably 23 years or so. I've been with Kamen for about 16 years. And I've been in this role that I'm in, which is vice president of operations, for the last 8 years almost. So this is the longest time I've been in any one role, but I enjoy it. It's all about people. It's the love of the people and seeing other people be successful. That's what I'm all about.
Love it. And quick factoid. So Malcolm and the Supply Chain Radio research team shot me this note. I knew that there was a famous brave from Cairo, Georgia, right? Say that right? Do you remember who it was?
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie
Robinson was actually born in Cairo, Georgia. Teresa Edwards, it was the big basketball star at University of Georgia and five-time Olympic medalist. And my dad actually coached her.
Wow.
There in Cairo, Georgia. Yeah.
So I was not thinking of Jackie Robinson. So you're on top of it. Willie Harris, the former
too.
Brave.
Yes.
It seemed like for a season or two, he was all the rage. He was one of the fastest guys ever. But anyway, great. Love the small town story. I'm from Aiken, South Carolina, and I think there's so much. Small town USA is such an incredible critical part of the fabric of the country and the work ethic and all that good stuff. All right, so shifting gears, let's talk more about Cayman and what Cayman does.
Okay, well, if you look at the kaolin industry in the state of Georgia, we're about a $2 billion impact in the state of Georgia. We're number six in terms of exporters out of the Port of Savannah, and our company is one of the largest exporters out of the Port of Savannah. Mm. About 65% of what we produce here in Georgia goes overseas.
Wow.
So we've been in business for about 90 years. We ship products to five different continents and about 60 different countries. And it's kaolin clay. We have a space here in Georgia of four plants. Three plants here in Georgia, one plant in northern Brazil.
Okay.
And then we have a makedown facility in Belgium. So who would have thought, you know, we'd be processing dirt, shipping dirt all over the place. That's what people call it. But when our customers come to our facilities, they realize it's much more than that.
Mm.
It's our plants are a lot like a chemical processing plant, except we're processing inert material. Mm. So it's a unique industry. Not many people know about it. But kaolin clay goes into paper coatings, wall coatings, industrial coatings, inks, rubber, you know, inner liners of your tires, if you think about that, plastics. They actually spray it on fruits out in California.
Really?
You know, apples and what have you to protect it from being sunburned. So it's a unique product used for many different applications.
Well, so quick question. Is there something to do with the fall line in Georgia and how important that's kind of where...
I guess, if we wanted to go into a history story, about 100 million years ago, half of Georgia and all of Florida was underwater.
Mm.
So, and as the water receded, it developed these kaolin deposits along the fall line through the weathering of feldspar and granite from the Piedmont region, which is actually, you think, a stone mountain,
mm-hmm.
you know, weathering over time, developed these kaolin deposits in these little lagoons. So that's where we mine is... Our plants are geographically located between Augusta, Georgia, and Macon, Georgia. We have one in Macon, one in Renz, one in Sandersville, and then, as I mentioned before, one in near the mouth of the Amazon River. Mm. So it's right in the middle of the jungle
wow.
in Brazil.
You ever get to go down there and...
I go down there quite frequently, yes.
Okay.
In fact, the last time I went through the passport line... I think the lady recognized me. She said, you've been here a few times.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think that fall line thing is such a... When we came out and toured Cayman a few years back is when I put two and two together. I had no idea for all my adulthood the connection there. And that is going back a few ways. You said 100 million years going back?
100 million years. Supposedly when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Wow.
That period.
So what else makes Cayman different from some of the similar organizations out there?
I would say, you know, we've been in business a long time, 90 years, but it's all about our people. I think if any manufacturer tells you that it's all about their equipment or their assets that they have at their company, they're really wrong because it takes the people to operate it. So we have a culture that's just family oriented. People come into work because they enjoy coming into work. They love each other, and we try to reach out to each other when, you know, all of us are going through different struggles in life. So as we go through those struggles, we try to be there for each other. As I mentioned, our average tenure is somewhere around 15, 17, 18 years.
Mm.
It keeps changing a little bit because we're seeing a lot more retirements and what have you. So generally, when people come to work here, they stay.
Yeah,
and sometimes like Holly had mentioned, grandfathers will have a grandson that'll work there, and they'll be working side by side. So it's a unique, special industry, and it's just our vision is to be the most admired kaolin company in the world. That means a lot of things, but we try to be admired to our people first, and then our customers second, and then shareholders and people in the community and what have you. So we do a lot in the community. We're owned by a private equity company out of Fort Worth, Texas. It's called Iman Partners. It's unique in that our owners actually were in the minerals business for a long period of time, sold out, and they wanted to reinvest in the minerals company. So we've been with them for over 10 years, actually 11 years this year. So they enjoy the minerals industry. They have a passion for people also. Just great.
Common values, it sounds like.
Common values, great owners. In fact, our CEO, Rankin Hobbs, he started, 3 years ago, we're traveling to Costa Rica, and people from our company are going down there to build homes for needy families. So we do a lot of mission-oriented type work as well in the community locally and abroad.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, your company's been recognized. Jason mentioned the GMA awards that's been taking place over the years. I want to say they've been award winners, right? Both individual and organizationally. So it's good, you know, recognition of what, I mean, going back to some things Holly's doing, her organization and what y'all are doing, I would argue a lot of folks don't know the impact that manufacturers have and a deliberate impact. You know, what I'm hearing for you is not just like, hey, gee whiz, here's an idea. It's you're setting out to make a difference, not just in the local community, but internationally with Costa Rica, right?
Right. Yeah, so, you know, in terms of recognizing our people, as Jason mentioned earlier in the show, that's key. That's key in being successful in a company. So we've had the fortunate of having a plant manager of the year, Stephen Bacon, recognized. Just this past year, we had a frontline supervisor award, Elton Seaton. He is new to our company, and that was huge for him, huge for his family. He grew up in Africa and then traveled over here. And so to be recognized so early in his career was tremendous on the huge stage, you know, that Jason has at these annual conferences. So I'd encourage everybody to try to attend and sign up for those conferences. There's a lot of good information that comes out of that. One of the things that we learned it's probably about 2 or 3 years ago. I think most people in the manufacturing space knows that there's a truck driver shortage.
Absolutely.
You know, about 10,000 truck drivers a year that are short and what have you. And so there was a gentleman that spoke, and I can't remember what the name of the company was, but he says, you know, truck drivers are the most underappreciated people in the workspace today. So they come on your site, typically, you know, they don't get a thank you, that kind of thing. So our company took that to heart. We embraced that, and we actually, during the annual Truck Driver Appreciation Day, we give them a trucker's hat, a bottle of water, a, you know, Snickers bar, a letter from our president just saying thank you.
And that was every trucker that came in that day, right?
Every trucker that came in that week. So we celebrated it for the whole week. We had so many stories. One of the stories the first week was a gentleman who was retiring that week. He had been working, you know, driving a truck for over 30 years. And he came in and he says, no one has ever told me thank you.
Wow.
And you don't know how much this meant to me and my family and my career. And so just to be a part of that, and we learned that by being at the GMA conference. So
that's fantastic.
That's my takeaway. Yes. See, from being
huge.
Right here.
Let's I'm inspired. Let's bring more value to your takeaway, because I wasn't aware, and Malcolm shot me a note here, who keeps us on our toes. Truck Driver Appreciation Week. I had no idea that was such a thing. For 2019, it's September 8th through the 14th. So we'll mark that down. And I would take continuing Jason's thought, if more companies did what y'all did and acted on what you've heard about and acted in treating under-respected aspect of our industry community with more respect and treat them like they're humans and not just someone that's moving stuff, we'd all be better off. We would all be better off. And I'm going to beat this drum a little more, this dead horse a little more, because there was something going around on social media a month or so ago. And what it was, and we're not maybe not do it justice, but it was a beat up piece of paper that was taped to the dispatch, the check-in office at a manufacturing plant. And it laid out what you were to do, what you weren't to do. Don't ask any, I mean, it communicated a message, and it speaks to what, you know, what you're describing, Jason. There is no respect. Right. And so if there's no respect, and we're sitting here, why in the world are we short 10,000 drivers or whatever the number is. Well, you folks get sick and tired of being treated in thankless roles, right?
Right.
So National Trucking Appreciation Week, September 8th through the 14th, and we all need to take a note and do more what like Cayman did, and take care of the folks that take care of us, right?
That's correct. Well, as I mentioned before, we learned that, you know, at Jason's conference, and I'll just I hate to give a plug here, but it's warranted. Jason Moss is unbelievable. This
get that on the back of a t-shirt, Jason.
this guy has so much energy, so much love for people, and so much love for manufacturing in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. We are blessed to have this gentleman here representing us. So thank you, Jason.
Agreed. It's nice to have an ally. Ooh. In manufacturing.
Yes, absolutely. And you're talking about the Georgia Manufacturing Summit, and we might touch on this at the end, but at October 9th is the next Georgia Manufacturing Summit. It's gotten bigger every year. It'll sell out. I think it sold out last year. It'll sell again this year. But Jason Maxwell, going to your point, you know, the takeaways, you know, the we all have gaps as humans and blind spots, and going to a summit and kind of taking things back and then acting on that like y'all did, I mean, that's what makes us all get better, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so, you know, we're all about trying to learn best practices from people. So we learned that from some of the plant tours that Jason sets up, you know, Georgia Manufacturing Alliance sets up, learning from others, you know, what others are doing. Some of the things that we're trying to focus on as an industry is obviously safety of our people is important.
That's huge.
So that's a big part of what you're doing in the summit there and recognizing safety leaders. We've been recognized twice for our Sandersville plant there. And the other thing is just automation. I think, you know, our industry is 90 plus years old. We got some old equipment. We got some newer equipment. Mm. So we're trying to look to ways to automate and to do things more efficiently and what have you. Predictive maintenance is also a big one. You mentioned that one.
Yep.
That's on our radar screen, continues to be on our radar screen in terms of, developing talent and hiring people, those are some of the key roles that are hard to find in terms of, you know, maintenance, your E&I people, the technical people that can enter the workforce because they're highly sought after right now.
Right.
So
everybody's competing for that talent. Yeah. But any other industry trends that you've kind of kept your fingers on the pulse of here lately?
Well, other than what I just mentioned, I think just talent management. Mm. You know, and both of, you know, everybody around this table is focused on that, but hiring the right people, putting the right people on the right seats and on the bus, and let's get the bus moving forward. That's so key to what we do. I had a boss tell me one time, the most important thing that you can do is hire the right person. Because if you don't, you will spend the rest of your career trying to, you know, correct that.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So, I had a meeting a week or two ago with a leading corrugated manufacturer, and the conversation really centered around retention. So we all know we've got to fight to get the talent, but then it sounds like when your average tenure at Cayman is 15 to 17 years, you are doing a good job of keeping that talent. And I think it was probably a bigger number just a couple of years ago, because we've had some folks, you know, folks that are eligible to retire, want to retire, right?
Yeah.
So how can you share anything with us in terms of what else y'all might be doing deliberately to keep talent and keep the talent at Cayman?
Well, we're still learning. You know, I think most companies nowadays are just trying to go with the times. Most young professionals entering the workspace, they want to go work for a Google or some high technology company. We're not that company. We're in the manufacturing space. So we're trying to make things attractive, whether it be a flexible workforce in terms of flexible work hours, working from home if there's opportunity to do that. But it's really just boils down, I think, to the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, if you look, and we've talked about this a lot of times, I hate to use a football analogy, but I'm
please
going
do
to right here. But, you know, if you look at the successful teams in college football, they all have great players, but the ones that win the big games, like the Clemson, the Alabama, and I'm giving Mr. Scott a plug here because he's a Clemson guy, but it's all about culture. It's all about the same consistent thing every day. Mm. And a lot of it's just loving up on your people, mm-hmm. letting them know Amen. You care, letting them know they're more than just that statistic or that number.
Yep.
That they matter.
Yep.
So that's a big part of, I think, keeping people.
Yeah, well, just kind of hearing you walk through the last 15, 20 minutes, I think you are you can tell that it's not lip service. Right. You can tell that where Jason's coming from, it is. And having toured y'all's operation, I think, a couple times, it's not just Jason. It's shared. It's a very tangible culture y'all have in place. So no wonder you're not just attracting good talent, but you're keeping that talent there at Cayman, which is such a unique company and an asset to the Georgia manufacturing industry. So you, I'm going to ask you this question anyway. You touched
on Scott, real quick before you go there, I just wanted to just let you guys know. I mean, you know, when Scott and I, we've been talking about setting up Manufacturing Matters radio show for a while. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a little slow on the pickup sometimes. And I'm thankful I got good folks around me that keep me straight, you know, and Scott's in that team. And, but as we were going through kind of laying out the game plan and trying to figure out, you know, what we want to do with this show, the big part for us was to figure out how we wanted to start it off, because you only got one shot to start it off. And for us, you know, we boiled it down and said, you know, who embodies, you know, what we need in the manufacturing space. And and for me, I, you know, we get to tour some pretty cool places. We've seen some amazing technology, and we've seen some, you know, cutting edge stuff, and we've seen big companies and small companies. But the thing that stuck with me, and the reason that you two guys are here, is because it's culture. Mm. You know, I mean, and that's the piece. You know, it might not be the fanciest machine, and it might not be the biggest headcount, and it might not be the, you know, shiniest whatever coming out of the production line. Now there's a lot of shiny stuff coming out. I'll give it
takes all time.
Right. But bottom line, it was the culture that stood out to me. And I'm like, if there's something that we want to incorporate into this, is making sure that we always talk about as the foundation of this. You know, we want companies that love on their folks, you know, because that's what we're doing. I mean, if you look at it at a broader piece, I mean, all we're doing is gathering a team together of the right kind of companies, and you guys leading it off, I couldn't imagine having anybody else. So again, thank you guys for being part of this today,
because
this
means a lot. Us.
Definitely. So Jason Maxwell, how can folks get in touch with you or learn more about Cayman?
Well, our website is www.caymanllc.com. Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 478-750-5410. And then you're welcome to email me at jason.maxwell@caymanllc.com.
Perfect. And, you know, it's spring football time, so to continue your football analogy and top 10 lists and polls, number 6 in total exports coming out of Georgia.
Yes.
So you're that's a big driver of not just the state economy, but the regional economy.
Yes.
And I'm sure y'all can attest, the Georgia ports, talk about a crackerjack team. They've got it down. You know, there's a reason why that's one of the fastest growing ports in the world, but certainly in North America. Oh, well, Jason Maxwell, with Vice President of Operations with Cayman, thanks so much for taking time with us today. Great to reconnect once again. And I knew a lot of the story you were going to share today, and you did not disappoint. So thanks so much, Jason.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. So, Jason Moss, mm-hmm. we need a traffic light here. So let's wrap up on some upcoming events, and we'll start with GMA. We have got the Georgia Manufacturing Summit, of course. That's kind of like the pinnacle event, right, of each
Correct.
Year.
Correct. Yeah.
That's October 9th. That's going to be back at the Cobb Galleria, right?
Yep.
And registration's open.
It is, and actually today is your lucky day, because April 1st we were supposed to go to our regular pricing, and we had early bird pricing ended March 31st, but what we did was we extended it till April 15th. So to get the best pricing on attending the summit, just go to GeorgiaManufacturingSummit.com, or you can go to the events page, go to GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com and click on events. We have a long list of events that are lined up for the next couple months, and the summit is ready to go. We do have a very limited amount of booth space available for the summit. Last year, it sold out pretty quick. We're just just kind of getting started talking about it now, and it's growing quickly. So if you want to get some great exposure, this year expecting to have a little over 1,000 people in attendance for the summit this year, so it continues to grow year over year. And we'll have a keynote and a awards breakfast first thing in the morning on October 9th. We'll have 5 or 6 breakout sessions for the mid-morning. We'll have keynote at lunch, and then we'll have 5 or 6 breakout sessions in the afternoon. And we're going to be talking about all the things that we talked about today, plus a lot. We're going to be talking about sales and marketing for manufacturers. We're going to talk about IoT. We're going to be talking about the workforce. We've got a whole panel designed around, you know, talking about what's going on in manufacturing. And our theme this year is really about manufacturing success in Georgia. Now, that can be spun a couple of different ways. Manufacturing, creating success, but also manufacturing successes, the things that we have done that work. And we don't need to spend a whole lot of time beating it up about, hey, you know, we got a workforce issue. We got that down. What we're going to do is we're going to highlight the people, the companies, the organizations that are having success so we can share best practices. So this is going to be a full day of sharing best practices all across the state, because there's different pockets around the state. We're all pulling on the same rope, just different strings, and kind of at different times, so it makes it a little awkward. But now what we want to do is we want to unite that and get all of us pulling on the same rope at the same time. And we can move the planet if we do that.
Yep.
But this is the day that we're going to be getting that done, October 9th.
Love it. And you can learn more at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. A little closer in, we've got a neat workshop coming up May 10th with our friend Bo Groover.
Yes.
Doosan is going to be hosting Proven Techniques for Continuous Improvement, right?
Right.
Yep. And that's going to be a couple-hour event, kind of 8 to 11 or so. And we're going to get a tour of the Doosan operation.
Correct.
Right?
Yep, yep.
That should be a neat event, and registration is open for that as well. I think Apex Atlanta is co-host or co-sponsoring that, or
correct,
whatever the right word is, right? That should be a neat event. All right. So, and there's no shortage. You know, y'all can check out the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance calendar of events. There is no shortage of items, especially plant tours that Holly referenced earlier. In fact, we've definitely have toured Cayman. I want to say that we were just down there and American Metal Craft here in the last few months.
Correct.
Right. Yep. Sorry, my three kids have ruined my memory. I don't know what day of the week it is sometimes.
That does happen.
But that's such a critical, you know, plant tours are so important for putting your eyes and ears on what's working for other companies. And sometimes what isn't working, which, you know, facilitates really neat conversations. Because we all have challenges, right? There's not even, and I hate to pick on Amazon, but I am anyway, because they get so much recognition, right? They're setting such a high standard. However, we all saw the news last week. Whole Foods, which Amazon purchased, was delivering a bunch of inaccurate groceries. Mm-hmm. So if Amazon has challenges, I think we all can Riley. Own up to the challenges we all have, right?
Yeah.
But Jeff B. continues to definitely print money wherever his offices are. So anyway, so upcoming classes. So moving from GMA to Apex Atlanta, who's also a sponsor of Supply Chain Radio, we have boot camps coming up. If you're interested to our audience in your supply chain certification, we have our CSCP and our CLTD boot camps coming up at Georgia Tech at their Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. Those are boot camps are 2.5 days, and they're we intentionally put them in the same week. So some folks that fly in for supply chain training, they can knock out their CSCP, which is kind of an enterprise supply chain certification, or they can take a deeper dive into logistics, transportation, distribution on the second half of the week. So you can learn more at apexatlanta.org. Our friends at the e-commerce operations summit in Columbus, Ohio, they've got a great event teed up next week, April 9th through the 11th. How hot is e-commerce?
Oh, it's
everywhere. We were just talking
man.
About it, right? And it continues to grow. Double digits, quarter over quarter, as long as we've been tracking it. This is the leading industry conference focused in on the hot e-commerce space. Our listeners can receive a discount by using promo code TAL150 during registration. We're proud media partners, and you can learn more at operationsummit.com. In May, talking about manufacturing, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence is going to be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit here in Atlanta. Speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all dialed in on the world of manufacturing. We're pleased to be a media partner. You can learn more at AME.org. And then one final event that we are excited about, EFT, which is a London-based group that it's a rock and roll player in supply chain space. Their 3PL and Supply Chain Summit is coming to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. A lot of speakers from UPS, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. We're going to be broadcasting live. And
nice.
We're excited about that. We're going to be partnering with an organization that we're going to be making a big splash with here in the next week or so. You can check out EFT.com for more details, or you can send us a note to Scott at Supply Chain Radio, and we'll get you more information. So, big thanks to our guests today. It was a pleasure to kick off a manufacturing-focused series, not only with Jason Moss, but with Holly Gottfredson with American Metalcraft and Jason Maxwell with Kaman. Thanks to you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will have you back maybe later in the year, and we'll kind of see how 2019 plays out. We were talking in the warm-up about some of the economic stuff, different things that, you know, a lot of it we can't control.
Right.
But we're navigating through the waters, and I'm sure it's going to be a big successful year. So thanks to you both for joining us. Co-host Jason Moss. Yes, sir.
One last question for you guys. Holly.
Yep.
What was your favorite part about today?
I think these headphones kind of make my hair look great. No, I'm kidding.
You see my hair?
All right. No, I really just enjoyed being able to share with you guys about how much we love our company and our culture and our people, and just all the fun things that are available with manufacturing, and being able to talk about that as a career path for those that are thinking about all the options out there. I think manufacturing is a great place to go. So thanks for allowing us that opportunity.
Fantastic. All right. Jason, hot seat. What's your favorite part about today?
And, you know, I think just being here, having the opportunity to represent Kaman, but more importantly, just listening and hearing about your company, Holly, and what you do. You know, a big passion for me is women also. I got two daughters, and I also support Florida State University Chemical Engineering Department. And so we look for opportunities to get more women involved in engineering and what have you. So it's really encouraging and a blessing to hear from you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now we'll turn tables on you, Scott. So, this is our first kickoff. What was your favorite part about today? All the buttons worked and the lights came on?
That's always my favorite part, because if you knew who was operating this thing. Well, you know, so this is a trademark Jason question. I think every event Jason will wrap up with getting the one key takeaway. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to learn from other leaders, and especially other leaders that are very genuine in their actions. And it's not about lip service, because if there's anything that I know I do not like, is lip service leadership. And in this room, that's not what it is. So my favorite takeaway is to sit down with two genuine leaders, put the spotlight on them, kind of learn from how they see the world, and hear some of the neat things they're doing, not just to drive our economy forward and not just to give their team members opportunities, put food on the table and good jobs and lucrative jobs, but how active they are in the community and making a difference, because we need more of that. We need more of that. I think we can all agree on that. So that was my favorite thing. How about you, Jason?
I really do love that all the switches turned on, the lights came on, the speakers sound great. I'm gonna keep these headsets because they make me sound different. I don't know, my wife would probably prefer one if I cut the cord off of it, but it is cool to be able to see the insights and be able to get to know you guys better. I mean, I take you as great friends, but being able to hear from kind of this vantage point and what's going on in your career, what's going on in your life. We'll circle back around and do vacation follow-ups maybe in the fall, after we've all kind of done what we did, a little pre-show conversation about some cool vacations, but we'll do that. And again, thank you guys for being part of the kickoff for this series. And I can't wait to see what the rest of 2019's got in store for us.
If this sets the standard, man, ooh, the rest of the show's got to...
Where are we going to go from there?
That's right. That's right. Well, again, thanks to Holly Gutfordson with American Metalcraft, Jason Maxwell with Kaman, and my co-host Jason Moss with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. So, you can check out other upcoming events, replays of interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything on behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, including Malcolm and the research team. This is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.